The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. No one can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and is tomorrow thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? Or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a little song I know. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. If only life was that easy. If only we could save ourselves from worry, from doubt, from the sickness of despair, from wondering what tomorrow will hold. Truth be told, we are people who are addicted to worry. Worry drives us. Worry motivates us. Worry causes us to purchase. Worry drives us to action. Worry informs our thoughts. It informs our way of living. Marketers know this all too well. For to sell a product, you must create a demand for that product. Tell people they need what you're selling, that they are incomplete without your product. And you will have a sale. Your teeth are not white enough. You need this new brand of toothpaste. Your hair is not clean enough. You need this new shampoo. Your children are not eating well enough. You need this cereal. The list can go on and on and on. Your future is not secure enough. You need this retirement product. And we live in a world free of advertising that seems to cause plenty of worry. As Egypt, Bahrain, Libya, possibly Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, fall into turmoil, chaos, and civil war. As our gas prices begin to rise. As the food on our store shelves begin to rise. As our heating bills here in Saskatchewan begin to rise. We are prone to worry. Do we have enough? How stable is our world? And all of us are getting older. Even the least among us are aging. And that in and of itself is cause for worry. How will our bodies hold up? What sickness or bad back will ail us next? And we continue to worry. Don't worry, be happy. It makes for a nice bumper sticker. It makes for a catchy song. But it's not really a slogan that we can hang our caps on. We can say it, we can proclaim it, we can wear it, but truth be told, we cannot live it. To worry is to be human. Christ knows this all too well. Christ's words from us at first glance would appear to be simple. Don't worry, be happy. God's got you covered. I would love for that to be true. It would make my job so much easier as I stand over the bed of someone dying of cancer to say to them, don't worry, be happy. It would make my job so much easier as I sit in my office with a husband and wife going through divorce to say, don't worry, be happy. It would make my job so much easier when I tell myself, you haven't seen so-and-so in a while, I wonder what's wrong, to simply tell myself, don't worry, be happy. But those words in and of themselves are meaningless. To simply tell you not to worry, to simply tell you to be happy, to simply tell you God's got it all figured out. Well, to me, that provides very little comfort. The important words for me are found in the start of today's gospel reading. To us, Christ says, a man cannot serve two masters. Now, the King James Version doesn't use the word master, it uses the word Lord. A man cannot serve two lords. You cannot serve God and money or God and wealth. Christ is setting up a dichotomy. What Christ is setting up is a picture of two opposites. Like the proverbial fork in the road, in your life, you come to a decision-making moment. Who do you serve? Who is your Lord? Who is your master? Excuse me. Money or God? Christ says we cannot choose to serve either. To serve means to be subject to. To make that your desire. To make pleasing that thing your goal in life. We know the road of money. It is a road that our world offers to us. It is a road that St. Paul says seems to satisfy the fleshly or old Adam part of ourselves. It is a road that promises us better looks, more comfort, more happiness, more security, a more worry-free, stressless life. And then we have the other road, that of God. It is a road that offers us the seemingly intangible peace, hope, salvation. As humans, we are all too quick to follow the brass ring of money. We can hold it. We can feel it. We can show it off. We can judge how much we have in relationship to others. We can grade ourselves knowing how good we're doing. Do I have more than my neighbor? Do I have less than him down the street? It seems to play into the idea the harder I work, the more I can have. It fits into our reality of the world. But what Christ is really setting up, what I see Christ setting up, is not simply this contest between money and God, but a contest between scarcity and abundance. Money is always scarce. There is never enough money. You can never have enough money to buy yourself a worry-free existence. All of us will get sick. All of us will suffer the loss of relationships. All of us will feel insecure. All of us will wonder if we're really loved. All of us will never be the smartest person in the room. All of us will never be the most handsome or the most pretty person in every room. Money will not buy us true happiness. Money is scarce. As our gasoline prices rise, we realize that the commodities we purchase with money are just as scarce. How much can you buy? How much is really enough? How large a house do you need? I am shocked. One of my guilty pleasures in life is watching the Home and Garden Network. I like watching a show called House Hunters. And I see a young couple. And they're usually kind of the age of my wife and I. And they've had a child. So it's time to buy a bigger house. And the real estate agent is walking them through 4,000 square foot homes. And they get to the kitchen, the wife turns her nose up. That's not real granite. They get upstairs, that walk-in closet's too small. That garage won't hold their four cars. And so they move on to the next McMansion. How much is enough? How much do we need to find happiness? Will that larger house make their marriage more or less happy? Will that larger home create more or less love between them and their children? I know the truth. I know the answer to those questions. No. The house will not bring more love. The house will not bring more security. Whether you have Formica countertops, plywood countertops, or granite countertops, is no guarantee of a blissful marriage. But Christ offers us an alternative view, and that is the view of abundance. The abundance of God's love, the abundance of God's grace, the abundance of God's salvation. I'll put it to you this way. When I had my second child, I felt no less love for my first child. I felt no less love towards my wife. My love just grew because love is abundant. But when I had my second child, I certainly find myself with less money because money is scarce. Christ says, if you choose a life that honors God as your Lord, you will live the life of abundance, an abundance of hope, of love, of forgiveness. Ultimately, a life that has far less worry, a life that is much less concerned with hoarding the precious resources of this world, a life that is far less concerned with wondering about your your place in it. A life that recognizes you are with God. A life that recognizes that there is beauty, that there is bounty, that there is joy in this created world that God has given us. Christ reminds us of this in today's reading. He says, consider the lilies of the field. Christ says, look how beautiful they are. Look how alive, how delicate, how precious they are. Christ said, even King Solomon, the rich king with the golden palace, the flowing ornate robes, could never match the preciousness and the beauty of simple lilies. And there's truth in that statement. But the problem is we don't consider these things. Ours is a world that considers too often the wars, the poverty, the diseases, and does not stop to consider the creation, the lilies, the birds of the air, the grass of our lawns, the love of our families, the support of one another, the gifts of our faith, of the church. But rather we are inundated with the worry of the world. What is the next pandemic, the next epidemic, the next war, the next inflationary trigger? And so we find ourselves talking about these things, focusing more on the price of gas on the sign rather than the flowers or grass underneath it. And that causes worry. And the more we worry, the more we cut ourselves off from others. Because all of a sudden, we are living in that land of scarcity. Will I have enough? Will my family have enough? Will we be okay? Will we get through it? And the more we curb ourselves inward, the more we button up the hatches, build up the walls, it's me against them, it's lost. It's over. But if we live in the land of abundance, we recognize that hard days come. We recognize that we might not always seemingly have enough. We recognize that we will get sick. We recognize that war might touch us. We recognize that the world could be an evil and unforgiving place. But what we recognize is that we don't go through it alone. That we are not alone in our bunker or our bomb shelter or our little enclosure. That it's not me against them. It's us. It's we. It's you. It's I. Living this reality. To support one another. To honor one another. To help one another. To encourage one another. To care for one another. Money cannot buy that. Money cannot buy true love. Money cannot buy true compassion. Money cannot buy true friendship. Money can only make the appearance of those things. But when the real hard times come, when the real darkness of the night sets upon us, who will be there? Those who truly love us. Those who truly consider us friends. And those who truly care about us. And that care and that love and that compassion is built on the bedrock of what we share together. Not on what you can give me or I can give you or how you can better my life or I can better your life. But rather the bedrock of our faith. Of our mutual calling as Christ people in the world. People who recognize the abundance of God's love. That we don't need to meter it out to pick and choose who we care for, who we're compassionate about, who we help. But we know there is an abundance to God's creation. Don't mistake the creation of the world. The scarcity of these resources, the scarcity of food, of health care, of oil, of protection, you name it. Don't confuse those things with the creation of our faith, with the creation of our knowledge of God, with the creation of God's grace and love among us. These are truly renewable resources. That's the good news in today's reading. It's not, don't worry, be happy. That's just a platitude, a bumper sticker, a catchy song. What it is much deeper. It's God focusing your attention on what really is permanent in your life. About what really you can possess and hold on to. And that is not the material things of the world. Not the things you can show others. Not the things that you can dust, but rather the things that you can give freely of. Your time, your efforts, your prayers, your love, and your compassion. God cares for you. God loves you. And no matter what comes, and truly we don't know what will come, God will be with you. Amen.